Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast. Each week we sit down and discuss our favorite lore topics from within the Destiny universe. Specifically, we intend to take a close look at a specific question that has been nagging us and potentially the Destiny community as a whole. To fulfill that, our discussions tend to assume that you already have some background in the Destiny lore. Despite that, our goal is to be as lighthearted and welcoming to everyone as possible. With that out of the way, let's dive into this week's topic.
But
the gators and the ducks.
The shortest battle royale ever in the reporting pool.
Welcome to this edition of One-Sided Fights.
I think that's the note to start on. So, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Our special guest, Monsieur a Wicked Jester, has graced us again. You're the only member of the Four Timers Club now. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I did not know that. I will be waiting for my gold membership and discount yeah. process.
Yeah, also, but you have to pay for the members only jacket. We don't. You can buy it from us, and only like members can buy it. So just you.
Okay.
But it is not free.
It is not free.
It's a very exclusive club, and just members should be able to afford
put a price.
These overhead. The gold, it's gold velour.
Whoa!
In a members only cut.
I want to show up the Guardian Cop with a jacket like that. Though
I would
with not even like the entire like the legit embroidery and everything, but just like the Spinfoil Podcast logo. Mm-hmm. In a cloth, on cloth, and then stapled to the back of it.
Oh no, dude, not even stapled, clothespins. You're going full punk. You're going full punk on this velour members only jacket.
the freaking spikes all around the collar or on the cuffs.
Uh huh. You're gonna only on the right cuff.
That's
the punk cuff.
The pocket on the front of the jacket has a chain coming out of it attached to a wallet.
Yes, it do. Oh, man. Every time you zip it up, you hear something by Black Flag.
Oh, God. Oh, no. No.
No, it's gonna be as early 2000s basic bitch. The zipper doesn't say YKK, it's actually a tiny Avril Lavigne tie.
Oh. Oh, God.
Yep.
And
it's just for you. But you have to buy it.
God.
Our topic is because this is a special episode, we're not gonna follow a standard format. So our topic is more of a discussion on what is the darkness, trying to understand its place juxtaposed to the Traveler and the Light, and sort of what we all think the dynamic there seems to be and how it's going to play out going forward. This started from a spirited Twitter discussion. With intermittent reaction gifts between Wicked and myself. The Bagels, as we all know, was in the ether. Perhaps he liked something, perhaps he didn't. There is no record.
You will never know.
Yeah. But he did. He is also a prize. There was some spillover into our... we have a special Discord just for recording purposes. If I thought there was a need, I would totally expand... maybe a Discord for fans, or just a maybe make the current rooms we have private, and we can throw a public room out there for everyone who wants to chat.
Private room.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, members no. only. But it's gonna be yeah, no, no. It's
members not, only it's jacket.
Not be,
yeah.
It's not gonna be hidden. I'm gonna. We need to make one just for people who've been on the show four times and only let Wicked in there.
Just name it Wicked Room.
No. It'll essentially be that, but it's going to be under the guise of dude, you have to have been on the show four times. So like me and the Bagels, we've been on every show. And so we can go into the room, but like Wicked's been on the show four times. Like if you just be on the show four times and you can be in the room.
Anytime somebody else clicks on it, there's just a guard there. There's just a picture of a guard there with a freaking rope. just like, nope.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. And like we can entice it further by as you know, Wicked, as a four members club, you can expect some temporary tattoos in the mail. All
right.
so you know, please.
Yep.
Please leave your information with Janet on your way out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to getting that purple dragon one.
It's gonna be sweet. Yeah. There might be Shrinky Dinks. I don't know.
With the yin and yang ball in its hand. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because it's a Zen dragon. Duh.
It's a Zen dragon.
Yeah, you can't. It's not. It's not one of your Western war dragons. With their fucking feet.
We are going so all over the place.
Oh yeah. I'm going to say I'm going to edit some of that out to save face so they think we actually went longer, but I probably am. That's probably going to stay in because I'm late.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
So it's a very spirited discussion, guys, that brought us to inviting Sir Wicked back on the show. Again, didn't even have to tell him about the bonuses that came with being on the show four times. I think it started with, if we want to just sort of get the ball rolling, it started with the stasis power reactions. And, mm-hmm. you know, for me, just based on having only seen them, not knowing exactly the story behind it, I'm kind of in a weird place as to how I feel. I just don't know if it really fits thematically, especially since all the other forms of, you know, like big L light based powers seem to at least be some form of radiation. And so it's to me like ice powers are kind of like, I don't know. And then that's sort of what kicked off the discussion. So, with that, I'm going to kind of bring our guest to the forefront. Cause I know he's got a lot to say on the subject, so I'm going to hand it off.
Yeah, I really liked it. Just as far as the, because I agree with you, the powers that we have, it very much resonates with like radiation and energy transference. And with our new ice powers that are coming up, where I thought it actually fit very well was that it's actually the opposite end of the spectrum, where when mm-hmm. something's having the radiation taken from it, having that energy removed from it, then it's actually, you know, basically making it colder. The atoms are slowing down, and it freezes things. I know in the trailer that it was saying, you know, talking about creating, and that kind of threw things for a loop because a lot of the darkness is talking about destroying and consuming and things like that. But really, if we look at everything that we've learned from Eris, from her translations of the book of her and Tolan's translations of the Book of Sorrow, from her translations of what the darkness has been telling us through the orb, and from what it's been telling us through the seed, or excuse me, not even what the darkness has been telling us through the seed, but what whatever entities these pyramids are have been telling us through the seed. I've started to see, and again, taking everything that we're hearing with a grain of salt, that the darkness doesn't really see itself necessarily as an end. It doesn't really see itself as a lack of anything or a void of any kind of real thing. It a lot of times, especially in like when we were reading, I'm trying to remember the name of the book now, I'm blanking on it, but I did a lore series on it not too long ago, where with the orb, do you remember the name of the book that we got from the orb?
From Shadowkeep, remember? Is that what you're talking
unveiling.
About? Yeah,
unveiling.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Sorry. Yeah, we can just edit out that whole thing unless you're sitting there like,
let me just shoot a timestamp then.
Alright. So in Unveiling, we actually talk about a lot of the stuff coming from the Winnower's perspective, or at least supposedly the Winnower's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, specifically with the card P53, it talks about how P53 is there as a, it's not a destructive force, it's not an evil force necessarily, mm-hmm. it's a balancing force,
mm-hmm.
where once the creative cycle inside of our own bodies gets out of hand, or starts to get the upper hand and get too far going, as far as its reproductivity and it's just running rampant, P53's job is to jump in and squash it
mm-hmm.
back down to the point of being manageable so that the body doesn't become cancerous and, you know start developing growths and things like that. I think the darkness and the Winnower in that aspect see themselves as that. It's not a necessarily evil thing. It's not something that's meant to be completely destructive. Now, granted, if P53 were the only thing in our system, and we didn't have any kind of enzymes or genetics in our system to actually keep the reproductivity going or keep that replication process going for our cells, then yeah, P53 would just destroy everything.
Yeah, but I was going to say, there's since you brought up the allegory to cancer, the best explanation, or the simplest, just to get people's head in the right space as to what cancer actually is, it's basically like cells that forget to die.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And like the longer they persist, the more mutagenic they become. So
and it's really, when you start thinking about it, it doesn't take that big of a leap to understand why the Winnower specifically chose that analogy. Because when you look at what the Traveler has done with us, where the Traveler's gone back and it has taken something that was supposed to be dead, something that was supposed to die, and it's brought them back now. And now what's happened to us? We've developed past, we've become something completely beyond what we were as human beings. And we can't die, at least not by normal means. Like, we are outside of the natural source of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so we ourselves, if we kind of look at it that way, are like cancerous cells in this universe. So the darkness looks at us, and that's why it's going after us. That's why it's coming after us, is because we are like those cancerous cells, but it's targeting the source of it, the cause of the cancer. So, which would be the Traveler. So getting back to what we were talking about with the powers and the ice and everything like that, I know the biggest assumption is to automatically associate darkness to destruction or to a lack thereof or to the void or to absolute entropy. And I think the goal of the darkness is absolute entropy. It is the total annihilation of everything, but not because it wants that, but because that has to be what it's pushing for in order to balance what the creationist side is going for, what the gardener is trying to do. The gardener doesn't have a, you know, oh well, I'm only going to create a little bit, and you know, just I'll be mild and timid. No, the gardener wants to just push all kinds of life and creation out there. So the Winnower has to reciprocate the same kind of level of dedication to the end goal. Does that make sense as far as balancing and everything like that?
It's answering absolute to absolute.
Correct.
Basically. Yeah. I agree from that perspective. It's about, yeah, if the Traveler is going to create on an endless loop, the darkness and its respective ships are going to try and destroy.
Well, I actually
seasons of abominations.
I want to go back to that cancer allegory that mm-hmm. or metaphor, I guess, at this point that we're using. I think what they're doing is consuming. To put it at its most basis terms, it's not like literally eating, but like the white blood cell consumes the cancerous cell,
correct,
and dissolves it inside itself.
Mm-hmm.
The contract with the worm is consuming light that is captured by the hive. I think consumption, at least in things that we know, that are at least like you know, pretty directly connected to the darkness one way or another, or maybe maybe like a at most like a skip and a jump away. Consumption is a common theme.
We do have to be careful with the Hive, because the Hive themselves are not the darkness. That's pretty clearly
established. Nor are the worms.
They aren't. And I agree with that. That's what I mean by like a skip and a jump. They might be like a, you know, Kevin Bacon. They might be like a degree or two separated from the darkness directly. But I just want to say, like, in that aspect and in other aspects that we're referencing, like, consumption is a common theme. And I think to me, all things being equal, like if we're going on that path, like I for me it becomes that they consume.
I would argue slightly differently, and I understand where the consumption aspect is, or what you're saying with the consumption the part, and I do agree that we are seeing a lot of that. I don't think that necessarily consumption. I don't know if it's necessarily consumption that's the right, that the word that I would use for it. Like, it's the right idea.
Not literal, but idea. Like, maybe right. Not like literally like eating, like they're not like necessarily like literally like living off of it, but they take it in. They remove it.
Like maybe
by way of themselves. like a black hole isn't eating light, right? Light's just getting lost inside of it.
Okay, and so in that aspect, and see, actually that's another part. So one of the key things that I always looked at was the two weapons, Touch of Malice, and then the one we just got.
Ruinous Effigy.
Ruinous Effigy.
Yeah.
So with the Hive, one of the things that it showed us with that weapon, and we were told that the Touch of Malice was an imperfect weapon built off the logics of the Hive. And with that weapon, basically, it would deal more damage, but it ate away at your own health in order to do that much more damage.
Mm-hmm.
And what that taught us was that in order to gain power, you have to allow yourself to be consumed. Now, what the Ruinous Effigy, by comparison, has taught us is that you can have power. You have to be willing to take the power. You have to be willing to push your power in on others. Go for what you want, right? there always has to be a sacrifice. A sacrifice has to be made by either your side or the other in order for power to exist. Because whenever you throw the shield up, the shield eats at your own health. But using the weapon in order to kill another player, now you're taking their contribution, their sacrifice, and you can use their sacrifice to damage others. Or you can use their sacrifice to incur your own sacrifice and shield yourself. So you're not actually showing a sense of strength, but you're trying to use your own strength as a defensive. So you're sacrificing part of yourself in order to maintain that. So that's where I'm kind of struggling to really associate it to devouring. It is kind of in a way devouring, but there's that whole concept of taking. It kind of comes into play, but I don't want to automatically associate it to, like, the Taken.
I mean, they do. I mean, like taking is sort of like they do kind of consume what was taken and then spit out something else. So, I mean, I guess, like, consumption doesn't necessarily have to be, like, eating, right?
Yeah, I mean, consuming can be, like, if you... Because, like, if a disease consumes your body, then, I mean, it would be... Technically, it is eating it.
Well, I mean, being a consumer, though, like you absorb things that aren't food.
Correct.
Correct.
So, I mean, like a
consuming and taking would be, I guess, would be because as a consumer, you take things.
Yeah, like you consume entertainment. You're not eating your MP3s.
Oh, I was eating up Game of Thrones. Let me tell you that right now.
I mean, up until like season 5, yeah.
Yeah.
Season 8 was like, oh man, I got food poisoning. I got entertainment poisoning. That was
and they just kept making you eat. They just kept forking it in just to eat it and love it. But yeah, so taking all of that, getting back, kind of back to where we started with the whole ice thing, where you see that power has to be taken, where it's something between the radiation that you have there, showing that power has to be taken from a source, and looking at the radiation as it applies to the powers, taking radiation from something, even though it does create ice, creation can still happen from destruction. Creation can still happen from removing things from others. So I don't think the aspect of creation necessarily negates it as a power of the darkness, just because it's creating something, because more than what we're actually witnessing is the creation of something because you removed something. So, like, if I remove a piece of your DNA, it will create something new. It will hurt. It will change a lot. But if I were to go in there and remove a very specific piece of DNA out of your system, it would completely change what you are. That's why I feel like the ice actually fits in really well with it.
So
I think it fits well.
I hear you. I hear you on the sort of like inverse of speeding up for slowing down, transference versus I can't say that word.
The opposite of transference.
Yeah, like hindrance, let's say. Sort of like, you know, freezing, slowing. I see what you're saying. The problem I have with it is not in the darkness doing it. I think, yes, makes perfect sense. Yes, that's great. How are Guardians doing it? Because there's no context. Like, we're not losing our light powers by way of making a new contract.
Correct.
And I mean, I guess even demonstrably, like, there's something to be said for, like, Dredgen Yor being a great example of, like, he still had his ghost. Like, his ghost could res him. He didn't, like, necessarily lose his powers. He just, like, started using the darkness. But he, like, you know, also demonstrably stopped using his light powers. Like, he didn't thunder crash anyone after getting that we know of. In the narrative, like he doesn't use his Titan powers once he starts making the thorn, once he like straps that thing to the rose. So I just want to put that out there. So like, I'm wondering how, because there's nothing in that trailer that leads me to believe we're losing any powers. So I'm wondering how we explain that we're able to get those powers, because there's no way we're gonna, like, the Traveler's awake. It's gonna know what's happening, right? So I don't
presumably
see us...
it cares.
Well, all right. So, but like, I mean, we did just add to the list. The Traveler is getting ready to bounce.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself now. It's not going to leave anything out. Gonna say bye.
We'll see. I don't know. It's one of those where, okay, so
that's a different discussion. I didn't mean to do that. It is just very topical because I'm excited to topical about it. Anyway, the problem I have with it is as a light power, as because that's what we do as Guardians. We channel the Traveler's light. We also have light. All living things have some light, and we can do some stuff with it. Without the Traveler, like, heal ourselves.
So,
but
I think. Oh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, the problem the problem I have with us having it both ways is that I just, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay, so one of the key things that you mentioned there, and I think explains puts everything that what you're talking about and my perspective that I was expressing on Twitter into the perfect view. You said we channel the Traveler's light. Why do you think it belongs to the Traveler?
Because we know
that
it...
light, but we already found out that light exists in all things. So did that mean that the Traveler gave light to everything?
No, it's that the Traveler's light does paracausal stuff. We can only do it through a connection to the Traveler. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Okay, so we can manipulate the light through our connection to the Traveler. We have light. We've established that the Marines The guardians that that get resurrected, the humans that get resurrected, awoken, whatever, they already have a connection to the light from what we've seen with the ghosts prior to them being resurrected.
I believe, yeah, back in, and this does go back to D1, which can get a little dangerous, but
it can.
They typically, guardians were people who were considered to have like a stronger connection to light, a stronger amount of light in them, perhaps, to start with. And I think I believe that has to do with it. It's a little murky at this point, especially the more we know about like warlords and stuff like that. So yeah.
Going back, I know we've had a discussion, honestly, I can't remember if it was me and you or Bagels that had the discussion earlier about arc element and having light in it, or is arc a part of light, or is arc something that is just something that exists in light, or
it was you and I talking about it, and that sort of boiled down to it makes more sense to think of it as like forms of radiation, because then it all fits a theme.
So again, going along that same lines, where it's like, okay, you've got a form of radiation that is manipulated by this force, which is known as light. Okay, the light itself, the whole part of paracausality, as I'm understanding it from Bungie, is that it doesn't perform that for something to be paracausal. It doesn't do as it is expected to do, and like it can be turned and twisted to do things that are unpredictable in nature. Would that be accurate to y'all's understanding of how it works?
Yep.
And it's not really attached to fate. You can't really bind it to a causal nature or a causal series of events that are going to happen.
It literally is the definition of paracausal. It exists outside of nature.
So you've got a force of radiation that is manipulated through light, this energy force, and our connection to this and our ability to manipulate this is done through the Traveler. Because without the Traveler, we don't have the ability to manipulate arc or solar or void. So
not naturally. We can do it through technology.
Correct. We can still use it in our weapons and things like that. And have those things apply, but we cannot actually summon our supers or, you know, use any of those extra abilities. So going back to what I was saying on Twitter, where if you look at the light itself not as what the Traveler has to give us, but instead it's a second step in the manipulation of that, of the radiation, where you've got first is us, then our connection goes to some kind of, we'll say, a computer system. That's our, the Traveler is our computer. It's our computer input, we'll say, where we put what we want into the Traveler. The Traveler then takes this light, chemical, whatever, we'll say a computer program, and says, I want you to make blah. And then the computer program, which would be the radiation, then churns out the picture that we're looking for on the internet. So it basically, just because we're using this computer to access this computer program, doesn't mean that it's the only computer that can do so. Does that make sense? So this light force that is capable of manipulating arc radiation, void radiation, and just the spectrum of radiation, this force that can access the spectrum of radiation, I would argue is not tied specifically to the Traveler. I do not think that is the only way to access it. Right. And when I say that, I don't mean it's the only way I don't think the light is the only way to access it through that.
And I mean, we have evidence of that in that, like the Hive, they can access the void, they can access our arc and solar as well.
Correct, but they can't use it in paracausal.
Correct,
and I understand that aspect
Actually, in some way they can. I mean, if you consider how wizards attack, they're shooting like blasts from their hands. Like they're summoning that energy.
Well, because I know some.
And they
okay,
have,
but
and
only
they have
the
force fields that don't seem to be connected to any sort of technology.
Only the Ascendant Hive are actually
paracausal, right? Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
so, like, Thrall or not.
So they're, I think that right there is would be where the linchpin is to that, where we know paracausality is what separates our normal usage of light and the Hive. Because the Hive don't use light, they consume it, mm-hmm. but they still use it in... They still use the radiation that our light uses using other methods of that the darkness supposedly taught them, or the Hive worms supposedly taught them.
Basically, my interpretation of how we use the elements of arc, solar, and void is mm-hmm. we're basically filtering the light into those elements and expressing them and via our powers. It's less so that the light is made up of those elements, or it could be for all we really know on how that works, but it's more so that we're using the light and mm-hmm. filtering it into those different radiations, or however you want to refer to it as.
Yeah.
So I actually agree with all of that. I think that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What I have a problem with is that I think that, yeah, like how that would work is fine, but just thematically, you shouldn't be able to have it both ways. You shouldn't be able to get the Traveler's gifts and the Darkness's gifts. They are diametrically opposed forces. So my problem with the ice powers is not like in how ice powers would work so much, in mm-hmm. that how do we reconcile these diametrically opposed forces both giving gifts to the same person.
Well, Runous Effigy is I think a good example of this. Basically, it's consuming light and outputting energy. And I think that's basically how the ice powers are going to work. Basically, we're going to be, instead of how we typically just use the light, we are going to be consuming it via our ice powers. That's kind of what I'm seeing going forward. It's going to be a very similar input, but it's just a matter of how we basically convert that energy out.
Something I've been thinking about, and this has been since they announced the whole departure of the tree, as far as the skill tree, how they're essentially creating a completely different skill tree for this subclass. And it's not anything like what we have with the other three subclasses.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a blend between that and what we used to have in D1.
D1, yep.
Wait. So you guys saw the leak about the Hunter melee, right?
Which part? About the freaking the ice pick getting thrown through the freaking air?
No. I'm teasing to the spin foil theory tweet where it's just a knife with a scope on it.
Oh.
Accurate.
It's just, you didn't expect that.
Yeah.
It just shoots the blade at you.
Okay. Nerf Hunter melee. Anyway. So, one of the things that I was thinking about with the trees and everything, and with the Ruinous Effigy and everything that we've gotten so far about, you know, the consuming light and all that stuff. Then you look at our powers. When we activate the supers, first off, whenever you activate the supers of the other classes, yes, your body gets basically surrounded by your radiation energy. But when you look at these new subclasses, when we activate them, our entire bodies freeze over. So one of the things I'm wondering about, if that sacrifice that you're talking about, as far as, you know, you can't work one side or the other. I mean, really, there isn't anything saying that you can't, so long as you're basically doing a constant production and consumption of the light on both sides. The darkness, if you're activating your darkness energy, is going to want to consume, you know, just like Bagel said, they're going to want to consume the radiation inside you. And I'm wondering if that's how they're going to bring it about in our new subclasses, where when we decide to use that, it actually starts damaging us. So if we're not doing damage and dealing out damage, then it starts consuming our own light.
That's entirely possible.
I mean, like mechanic wise, like I think for in game, like that sounds really reasonable. My like, all right, so the Traveler is awake. It's not like if this had happened in D1 or even at the beginning of D2, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is so like the Traveler will just kill you. Or, like, turn off its connection to you, I would imagine. Like, because, like, Gaul didn't even...
That...
No, but, like, Gaul didn't even have a connection to the darkness. It just pissed off... He just pissed off the Traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Traveler killed him. Like, we helped. But the Traveler just murdered him. And so, like, my point in that, like, at best... I feel like we do not get a connection to the darkness. At best, I feel like it shows us how to corrupt our light as we send it out.
My only thing about that is if it tells us how to corrupt our light, then that should fundamentally change our other powers as well.
Because I mean, it's like, I think it's like any of the subclasses. Like, we just don't know how to do it yet, if it does. If there are more trees that are going to come with that.
There is an explanation that also sides with yours, is that if the shard itself is not really part of the Traveler.
That's fair.
Because we know the shard has been corrupted. We know the shard has corrupted light in it. And we know that there's EDZ shards all over the place that are emanating corruption from them. So if that happened, if the darkness corrupted those shards... then we very well, whenever we got our powers back, we could have very well received corrupted light that the darkness has already
inside of us. I don't think it was corrupted when we, at that point in time. It was the only place we could reconnect to the Traveler. But I don't believe it was connected at that time.
And again, it goes back to, the Traveler really what we were reconnecting to, or were we basically, is the Traveler a way station that allows us to connect to where we want to go? And that's my argument, is that the Traveler isn't really anything that's necessarily a sentient or controlling being. It's a way station. It is a means to an end.
I think that's more what the Ghost is.
Well, the Ghost is like our ticket to get on the train, and the Traveler is the train.
I don't, but like...
In the way I view it.
The Traveler definitely has some level of sentience, though. It's communicated to the speakers.
It literally said it's going to speak to all of us.
It has, but is it because the Traveler or because the Gardener has put itself into the Traveler?
That whole story is a metaphor. Like, I don't think they're two separate people.
You don't think that they're two separate?
No, because that whole story is like even the narrator in the story says that it's a metaphor.
Well. It is because there's parts of it that are metaphorical because it's the closest thing that it can give to us to understand everything that's going on. But it's not saying that absolutely everything in the story is.
I don't think there's like a literal gardener and a winnower. I think we either or like if that's not an allegory for the Traveler in the darkness or a metaphor for the Traveler in the darkness, like maybe there's another player, but like I don't think they're gonna be like, "Hi, my name's the Gardener." Like I don't.
Oh no, because it's a universal principle essentially talking to us.
But yeah, I don't think.
So let me.
I really don't think that's.
So going into the idea of,
I don't think they're two different people.
Going into the idea of what's been going on Io right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen the tree growing, right? When we first showed up down in Io, it was the Tree of Silver Wings, decorated, and essentially with the way it looked, a bunch of the white swirlies, and kind of looked very, it had a very pure aesthetic to it, white with golds or white and gold circles spiraling throughout it and everything like that. And it was a tree at the time. You could, very clear branches and everything like that. It still had like a circular top to it, kind of almost. And then when the darkness showed up and started corrupting it, this tree started turning black. And then the insides of the branches started forming a solid bowl shape.
Yeah. Kind of metallic almost. Yeah.
Kind of metallic, solid bowl shape. Now, if you were to take that, let's say... get rid of the darkness corruption. And we'll say that that bowl maintained its white and gold circles appearing all over kind of structure. Would that not look like a traveler?
I mean, in that it's also round.
There's the round, there's the multiple circles that are etched into the outsides of the traveler, the sacred geometry kind of shapes to it.
And yeah, well, I feel like what the seed, the cocoon has got going on is more of a reminds me of a walnut shell, or like maybe like a head of lettuce.
The actual seed.
The seed's doing is very similar. So that also another example, but I feel like what's happening to the I feel like whatever is happening to the tree of silver wings. I don't think it's birthing something. I don't think something's going to come out of that. I think that is whatever that is. I think it's more similar to the action of taking or consumption that we sort of like touched upon earlier.
So my only issue with that is that the storyline for the Tree of Silver Wings is so far heavily involved with the other characters of Destiny. Like Mara, before Osiris's return from the garden, or from the the endless abyss of what was on Mercury, before his return, Mara told Vance to tell Osiris to plant the seed. Mara's the one who told him to do that. Then Osiris goes out to the ends of the solar system after Rasputin talks to him. Finds this seed inside a Maw of Darkness, brings it back, plants it, and then just for the darkness to show up and consume it.
I mean, do you remember the gift mast from the Book of Sorrows?
I do remember the gift mast.
Right. So I'm sure Mara is forcing something to happen, maybe sooner than it was meant to. I think it's more similar to that interaction because I mean the traveler.
So they created something out of light and were meaning to use it as something for light, but then the darkness overwhelmed them and just ate it.
I think whether it's truly the gift mask from the traveler or not, I think what she's done is signal. Like by doing that, I think that's part of what Drew has been drawing the darkness to the system, along with the traveler waking up. Like I think it's part of her machinations, but I think it's more akin that she's like forcing something to happen, maybe sooner than the people she's manipulating would have done so on their own.
So the reason why I think that all of this is going in that same direction is because one of Mara's big things is she has always recognized that darkness is needed to balance out light. And she's always kind of hated the Traveler. She doesn't like it, but she's always recognized when you need something to balance it out. And it would make sense that Mara would encourage Osiris to plant the seed if she knew that the ships were going to show up. If she knew that the ships were going to corrupt it. And if she knew that the ships corrupting this tree on Io would in some way help the Guardians to realize that the Traveler is not a force that needs to be trusted or worked with. That it's because we know that Lightfall is coming. We know eventually we're going to get to that point where, from what it's looking like, we're probably going to end up having to fight the Traveler.
I don't think it's going to be that.
I think that's kind of the direction that we're heading in.
I don't think it's going to be that. I think we might be manipulated into doing some stuff like that. I don't think that's what we would ultimately choose. Narratively, unless it's like they put it to a vote and you know everyone calls in to kill Robin, but.
I'm hoping what that ends up being is a massive community against community event.
Oh man, that'd be pretty cool.
I was just like, you're either with the Traveler, you're with the Darkness, and everybody's just all out civil war inside of a massive server, and it's just like Last Man Standing claims it. Like,
all the streamers get sniped first.
Oh yeah. So, but
that's exactly what happened. I would. So I don't. I just. To me, what she's manipulating could be anything, from getting the traveler to leave like it was supposed to, so that Earth mm-hmm. is no longer the middle of this fight.
Uh-huh.
All the way to trying to get us to attack the traveler, because I mean, she remembers the Golden Age. She remembers that the traveler like didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know from the Mar'id that she has a big grudge against people who tried to go neutral.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get a very elaborate and icy, long-planned revenge on them. So, putting that out there, I would not be surprised if she's trying to get us or anyone to take out the traveler, or at least like get it to scoot.
Oh, but, absolutely.
But like in that way, maybe she's working with any number of people to do so. I mean, she is in the Ascendant realm now. So,
And look at something else to think about. Remember that one week where she was like, "Hey, you need to get out of here because the next person I'm talking to tends to find the appearance of the Traveler's Chosen disrespectful."
I believe she called us your kind.
Hmm.
I believe she called us your kind. In that interaction, actually, it doesn't take kindly to your kind.
Hmm. I definitely know the Traveler's Chosen to be was one of the lines I had heard.
Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. That's fine.
The reason why I'm saying that is that would be a really good fitting engagement for her to be talking to Aramis. And that would explain why Aramis is aware of the darkness and how to start doing things with it.
Oh, sorry. I know who you're talking about now. My mind immediately went to Three Musketeers when you said that. I was like, what about Athos and Porthos? Sorry about that. I had to pause for a second and actually, you know, make this reference to kill time so I can actually formulate a proper response and not ask dumb questions. I think that's all very possible.
Mm-hmm.
And playing the game is very, very cool. So like anything that we do might be by way of some sort of like manipulation or trickery, coming from any multiplicity of sides. I'm especially excited to see how she reacts to Aldrin having been now the risen Kevin.
I want to find that. I want to see that interaction. I hate Aldrin with a passion.
I hate Aldrin, but I think Kevin might be fucking awesome. We don't know what Kevin's personality is.
No, Kevin's
going to
be a dick.
I submit that by way of pulled pork and probably more of his original personality expressing itself now that he's not, what is it, being manipulated by his sister? I think
the uber emo vibes that I've been getting off of him from the last cards, it's not leaving.
They're
me
not
hopeful.
Though. He's just really down, and then he's got pulled pork helping him out. He's not being emo or goth anymore. And that's, I want his new persona to be as like normal as Aldrin was goth. I want him to like show up in like khakis.
Oh God.
And just like be like a really normal dude who's like really down that people
Adley Deedley neighbor.
He doesn't need to be that far. He doesn't need to be like at the full end of the spectrum. I just want him to be as like uninteresting and brooding as Aldrin was those things. I want him to come back and just be like, "Yeah man, so like you guys want to get a beer? We could get a beer. Is that Oh no? All right, cool. I'll catch you later. I'm going to go play some cornhole."
I don't know. I definitely... Okay, so something else that I've noticed about some of the things that Bungie's been doing. Did you guys play D1 like back at the very beginning of it? Or around for like the D1 launch trailer, the original D1 launch trailer? What was it?
So I remember back in the beta, there was a scene they ended up removing from the main game where he confronts you on Earth. And he's it's all those, like, a lot of people call them, like, or like, oh, it's like this dick bully thing. Like, no, it has full on anime rival vibes for me.
How much you want to bet we see that scene?
We might see a callback to that scene. I don't think that scene would play out the same way, especially by his interact. I just say it because he talks about, like, his sister and the Gate Lord and, like, things specific to the missions we were doing in that scene. And so I don't think we're going to get that scene. You know what I mean?
Well, keep in mind, we are going back into the Vault of Glass. So there is a reason for his sister to be mentioned and for the Gate Lord. And
the Vault of Glass doesn't take you back in time. It can simulate back in time. It can't it could simulate Aldrin. It's a conflux.
Saying Aldrin would be there. I'm saying Aldrin is going to be there as a guardian. But we have to go back into the Vault of Glass. We have to go back into it. But a lot of the people, especially the New Light players, they have not been back into the Vault of Glass. They never played D1, so there's going to be a completely new, or should be, really, completely new reason to go in there.
I mean, they did say there's going to be a narrative that goes along with having to go back in there. I would be very disappointed if Aldrin died, had a full character arc as the Awoken Prince, and then got rezzed to be the exact same fucking character. Like, let's just slap a cowboy hat on him and call him Tex, and he can be exactly the same as our friend Tank, who died. to reference Beerfest. Sorry.
Here's my other part that I'm kind of leaning towards as far as a supporting argument for that. In the demo that you guys played, at E3, do you remember the launch trailer for E3 where they showed the original walkthrough or gameplay walkthrough going up against that first gigantic fallen that you meet? They actually reintroduced that as part of D2 for the quest to get the Thunder Lord.
Yeah.
It was the exact same mission that they had launched way back at E3 freaking gameplay demo.
Wasn't it the first mission?
Yeah, that was the mission, the final mission to get freaking Thunder Lord in D2. Was the E3 gameplay reveal when D1 first launched.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty sweet.
So I think they're going... I really do think that they are going back and... revisiting and reutilizing some of those old assets and things that were taken out of the original game. All that stuff that that everybody was screaming out, oh, cut content, it's not that... Like... It's not that they cut the content out. They're still planning on using it. It just did not fit the narrative for right then and there because they had to expand on the story. They wanted to expand the story a bit more. And so I think going to get some of the same story. It's just...
I think the choice to make information about the universe being a slow burn, especially given the context of your character being woken up in the middle of it, I think that was ultimately the right choice. I know a lot of people bitched.
Yeah.
It's just because they were expecting Halo, where they can just have a log and read about everything right there, like hit pause and just do everything. And they didn't get Halo. They got a more immersive experience, in my opinion. So. That's just me. And I mean, like, I enjoy Halo. I'm not knocking Halo, but it's just different.
It's they're two different universes. Yeah.
Speaking of which,
Infinite looking like Infinite? D2.
Yeah, Infinite's definitely looking like I need to get it. I need to get that.
I still need to play through. So I never, like, I had played them before, but I never got to play through, like, the story mode all the way of the Halo series, because I never had an Xbox. I was always a PlayStation kid, and that was my choice. I was Sega to begin with.
And then, Destiny's actually the game that got me off of Xbox.
Halo. Oh yeah, I would say I was pure Halo before Destiny came out.
Yeah, same thing. I was heavily into Halo, and then as soon as Destiny came out, because I was on Halo, my freaking Xbox hit the freaking red circle of death. It was time for me to get a new place or gaming system. Went to freaking Best Buy, and they had the PlayStation there with Destiny as part of its freaking And then, oh, you get all these, PlayStation gets all these extra exclusives, like Hawk Moon. And I was like, yeah, you're mine.
Yeah.
Or you'd be like me and not get Hawk Moon for a year. Despite being on PlayStation that entire time.
Or you'd be like me and was just complete ass with hand cannons. Because I had never really played a first-person shooter before. Especially not on sticks.
Hand cannons in D1. D2, I love them. I really like them a lot.
Yeah, no, it had a higher learning curve than I was ready for. and that's not saying they have a high learning curve, listeners. Like, that's just saying how complete ass I was.
I would say hand cannons do have a higher learning curve than every other weapon in the game, for sure. It's more so about you are punished more heavily if you miss a shot with a hand cannon or miss a crit. Specifically, you are punished significantly for that.
Oh yeah, and it makes sense that the ones I like are like the faster firing, so you have more margin for error. So like, I really love the Trust, the 180s.
Uh huh.
Trust specifically. Oh man, dude, me and the Trust had a love affair. we got me that Luna's Howl.
Nice.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
Okay, so. Small little tangent from from the main story part. Okay, so what have we covered so far with the darkness and everything else?
I mean, so there's a big problem that we don't know how it's going to be applied to the character. Mm-hmm. There's a big problem in that we don't know a whole lot about the darkness itself. Like, I think there is a lot of, how can I say this? There's a lot of overlap, if they aren't the same thing, between the deep and the darkness. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
And all that being said, what it seems to do, and actually, you know, bringing that up, back to another conversation we had about the Taken on the show recently that just got released today, actually. Along with this will be released today, probably. There's a lot of, if they are like the same thing, basically, the deep and the darkness, that's, the darkness are fundamental to the Taken, because basically it's once Oryx killed Akka and got out of his contract with the Worm God that he got his Taken powers, because he was communing directly with the deep.
He didn't get out of his worm contract.
No, not his worm, not the worm that he consumed. He got out of his duty to Akka, though. He removed Akka from the top of the pyramid.
Sure, that's fair.
But if Tolan's to be believed, there's always somebody above you on the pyramid.
Well, yeah, but there was the darkness above him, and that's how he got the Taken powers.
Well, there was the deep. The deep. He. Received,
well,
a
deep. Deep darkness being like overlap in this case.
Yeah.
That's
so here's my thing, though, is that, all right, so, and the reason why I don't automatically equate the two is the whole idea of good people can do bad things and bad people can do good things. They're not mutually exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at, and I realize this is a horrible thing to say as far as just automatically associating Gardner, Winnower, and good and evil, but if you were to say the Gardener's the good and the Winnower's the evil, which the Winnower does say he's evil, or she's evil.
They're evil.
Yeah, they are evil. So just because the Winnower is evil does not mean that it cannot do good things. It can't. The deep is a way. It's a philosophy of you have to die, or you have to take. Power has to be earned. Mm-hmm. It has to be taken from something else that has power. If you want power, you take it. You don't ask for it. You don't freaking wait for mercy and all those other things. Whereas the way of the sky is take things as they come to you. Don't seek power. Don't do anything to try and elevate your station. Keep things in a state of order. And like the reason why I say that's the way of the sky is that, and that's how you saw Fundament. Fundament was until the Worm Gods got involved with the Hive. The three Hive sisters, Fundament was stable. All right. It was, from everything that we could tell about it, it was a stable society. at least from Oryx's point of view. There was, you know, the knights would come through, eat the sisters. It was a rough life, but it was a life. You know, it was one of those things where it's just like, yeah, this the life sucks, but it happens, and this is just the way things are. You had the other systems above them on Fundament that existed. The Traveler was up there with them, and then you had the Leviathan underneath the surface of Fundament that was guarding the worms, essentially, in their prison.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that the worms, or was it the worms or the darkness that pulled all the pieces of the planets up to Fundament? Was it the worms or the darkness? Do we know?
It was the darkness. The worm gods. The allure of power, kind of both, I guess. The allure of power through the darkness. Like, the worm gods used it to entice and corrupt and madden anything that came toward the planet and cause it to crash into it, basically.
Okay, so essentially we've got Fundament that's been pulled together as kind of like a communal species. The Leviathan talks to Oryx and basically says the way of the sky is cruel, but it's fair. And everything that we hear about what the gardener goes for is that it's all about creation. It's all about giving all life a chance to live. Now, if that was the case, and then if her goal, if the gardener's goal is life, and just extending all life and all that, why would she encourage the krill to die?
But that's like, that's, we're talking about information provided by people mm-hmm. we already agreed on are manipulative and madden the people they're talking to.
But so is the Traveler. The Traveler's manipulative.
But it doesn't, like, make you mad, at least not demonstrably. It doesn't, like, make you crazy just by, like, saying stuff to you.
It doesn't make you creepy? One guy shoved...
I didn't say creepy, I just...
a mask that had shrapnel on the inside of it, shoved it onto his face, cutting his face just to be able to hear it talk. If that's not driving you a little bit over the edge, I don't know what is.
No. Hold on. That is, how can mm-hmm. I say this? I feel like that's a special pressure that drove that insanity, because literally everyone in the game has heard the Traveler speak, and they are not doing that. So it's not like, and not even all like of those guys like, did it.
It's like Harry Potter with the one kid that had wizard parents that wasn't, and he was born without powers. And all of his friends have powers, and he's just sitting there looking at the Traveler like, show you. I'll make my own wand.
There's no owl coming from Hogwarts.
Oh, God.
And his parents adopt a wizard.
You're a wizard, Harry. It's the hive, kill
but,
it!
But not Francis. Francis is normal.
Oh, God. So, but, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot about Fundament where... I don't know. The best... The whole thing... One of the things I like about storytelling, like, the best bad guys are relatable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you sit there and look at it and say, okay... Like, with Savathun, like, there's... very blanket evil characters are very boring when you think about it. Like, because nobody starts off in the world just being like, screw everybody. Because they don't survive. They don't live long. Like, if you went through life absolutely just trying to go out and do evil things every second of your life and gave no care about anything at all whatsoever, you wouldn't live long. You would not survive very long in any sort of scenario.
Well, I mean, to that end, if you want to say the darkness is like Galactus, like, fine. Like, Galactus is not a bad dude. The Fantastic Four still have to fight him.
Correct.
Like, and I think that's kind of the position humanity finds itself in, and it might be the Traveler's fault. I'm open to that idea.
Uh-huh.
But, like, you know, at the end of the day, they're coming for us one reason or another. Like.
Okay, so how about this then? If the darkness is Galactus, that means that the Traveler and the slash Gardner is ego.
No.
Hmm?
Not exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not ego. It's more like, I mean, we're ego. So, like, the Guardians are would be ego in that phase, because we're, like, a planet that's at least somewhat successfully fighting back, and it might even be because we shot the Traveler. The Traveler is more like...
Well, think about it, though. Like, the whole, like, in the movie with Guardians like, of the Galaxy, like, you had ego who... wanting to branch out and populate all of these planets with himself. Like, that's the order that the Light wants. The Light wants all planets to fall under this its rule. It wants its side of the argument to win. And it wants to take all life that's out there and be able to cultivate it and push it out the way it seems, the way it deems fit.
It just makes it, it just makes things thrive. It just makes things thrive. It doesn't really like.
Which ego wanted to do too. It wanted to make things thrive its own thing.
Ego wanted to have progeny. The Traveler doesn't want progeny. Like, there were plenty of, like, I look at it this way. I think where things went fundamentally wrong is mm-hmm. what happened with the Hive, because then it became like a blood hunt, a revenge quest in every direction against not just things that the Traveler creates, but like all life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that sort of put things in a much different predicament, at least based on what we know, than sort of even the game between the Traveler and the Winnower, because like, or between the Gardener and the Winnower, you know.
I do.
So it's it's for me to say like, I'm trying to think of like with the Galactus comparison. I'm trying to think of like what the opposite Eternal would have been for. As his counterpart, and I can't remember their name. I think Galactus is an Eternal. But anyway, that's not important. But I'm trying to think of like
if anything, the darkness would be more like Thanos.
Mm-mm.
Where it's just like, this needs balance. I don't care if what I've got to do is evil. Friggin', this is what needs to be done in order to balance things
out. I don't think they're that. Honestly, the way that they come off in all of their communications and all of their arguments, it sounds like they're just doing their job. If everything they say is like true, yeah. If like for benefit of argument, like 100% right, they're not lying about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're just doing their job, and that's why I'm saying like that's a pretty relatable place to come from. Like when there's too many, like you might be against hunting, but you would also be against like animals starving to death. So like
yeah, an overpopulation.
So there's got to be like a hunting season to cull, right?
There's always a middle ground.
Yeah. And it's. I think yeah, like it kind of comes down to a conversation like that. Like I can relate to that. I'm the fucking deer, so fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Like yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's pretty much it. And that goes back to what Mara had said before, where it's like a body half alive and half dead is not a healthy body. Like, it's you need a little bit of death along with your life, and like you need a little bit of death in your life, a little bit of death involved in your system, in order to be a healthy body. But it's not. Half like it's not a perfectly balanced equation. Like you have to, there has to be certain levels of it and controls within it on both sides. So
it's definitely a thing. But I guess like back to what started. No, because we don't have to stay on topic. Remember, special episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stephen's a lot with this.
I want to go back and just kind of point out, like, you know, hey,
mm-hmm.
listen, it just doesn't, all of this seems reasonable on its own. What doesn't seem reasonable is how we're able to now use their stuff and the Traveler stuff. and that's where I'm like hitting a wall, and I don't mean to be like intransigent about it, but I'm just like, come on, man, like there's that doesn't make. How are you? How can you do both? Like you can't do both. Like it's not that they're inherently evil and there's no reason we shouldn't talk to them. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you still don't get to be both. Like you only exist because of their opponent. Because of someone who actively does stuff against them.
Well, and that goes back to the whole thing of what you were talking about, corruption. Like, I think the only way that it would make sense that you can really access both of them without some kind of reprisal, like, if... Alright, so there's three different ways I can see, from the way I can see it. If the Traveler is a conduit, and that's all that it really is, like, it may have a personality, it may have, you know, its own consciousness and all that stuff, but if the Traveler is a way station in order to get to a different, or in order to access a capability that we can access in other ways, then what it basically means is that we have to create another way station. Like there has to be another way station that can also access the same powers. So either the darkness is going to create something that allows us to access our old light powers in addition to whatever darkness powers it gives us, or it allows us to corrupt the light that we have from the Traveler, but then that requires us to hide it from the Traveler. Which, again, like you said, if the Traveler feels like there's a hostile presence against it, and it starts thinking that we are going to attack it, then it could very well go after us and attack us. So, I don't know, there's definitely a slippery slope there when it comes to why wouldn't the Traveler defend itself, or why wouldn't the Traveler try to stop it? I think is probably the best question in that, is if we're trying to get these light powers, why wouldn't the Traveler do anything to prevent us from doing it?
Or at least turn their powers off.
Right.
Yeah, like...
Like, cut us off from the powers that it gave us, and we turn to the darkness. If we turn to the darkness and get those powers, then the Traveler's like, no, screw you, you're not getting the gifts that I gave you access to.
I think that's kind of where the ghosts come into play. The ghosts act as a sentient... kind of like a judge of our character, and we see that like the very first time that we meet our ghosts. Basically, they are choosing us, and we're choosing each. There's kind of the aspect where we're choosing each other, because there's the whole aspect of we're signing up for a contract with the Traveler and with our ghost. Just kind of implicitly. But beyond that, the ghost acts kind of like a judge in the fact that we're continuing to be worthy to wield the light. And we see that in aspects where with, there's several guardians that go down the path of the darkness, and basically their ghosts stop rezzing them.
We really only have Dredge and Yor.
No, there's more than that though.
Like with the other dredgens, it's
here's
like
my
there's
favorite
there's
one.
Some people who are actually trying to do that, but like Callum's ghost isn't dead. You know what I mean? It just agreed not to res him for theatrical sake.
Like warlord ghosts is what I'm thinking. Like mm-hmm. Some of those ghosts choose not to res their guardians at a certain point, as I recall it, and. So the ghosts can basically act as a judge for the guardian and basically refuse to res them at a certain point if they go down a certain path that they find unworthy of the light.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think assuming the Traveler created the ghosts, which is still, I think is a fair assumption at this point, that we really haven't received anything contrary to that other than the whispers of it being maybe like Clovis Bray creation, that sort of thing. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
My question is, at that point, is what dictates whether or not the Traveler cuts off the ghost? Does the Traveler have a choice to cut off the ghost? Because obviously, if the Traveler's power is cut off involuntarily via Red Legion, all that good stuff. Go ahead.
I'm not sure that the Traveler has that level of sentience to... I think it has some level of sentience, don't get me wrong. I don't think it has, like, the full... like, it, we know that it's an absolute. It, we've already discussed that in depth. It's an absolute in that it must do what it must do. It creates for the sake of creation. Mm-hmm. And so the ghosts that it creates are its judges. It does not judge itself, is kind of my interpretation.
So then that goes back to the whole thing of, okay, so then why did they go after Gaul? If it's not really capable of doing anything other than what it does and just creating things, and it can't really act on its own, then, and it uses these ghosts, because it, basically what that's telling me is that the traveler has given the ghost the skeleton key to their, or the, you know, the master key to their apartment, and the ghost can just walk in and be like, hey, what are you doing in my apartment? No, I'm just grabbing milk. No, don't do that. And you just walk out. The traveler can't do crap to it to stop him. Mm-hmm. But yet Gaul goes and stands in front of him as a light angel and gets just destroyed by the traveler blowing up in front of his face.
He woke it up. It was asleep for that other stuff. It's awake now.
Okay, so then that goes back to, can it not just sit there and tell the ghosts, no?
Get the
hell out of my apartment.
I mean, well, I think there's two things at play. I think now it would probably do something a lot more direct, and I think it was awake when it made the ghosts, and those ghosts have like a modicum of instruction or programming that go along mm-hmm. with them being created directly by the traveler. So I would put that out there. I kind of disagree with you, Bagels. I think it does have sentience. I think it was able to do a lot of stuff while it was asleep. After it created the ghosts and the whole collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's awake again, I think it would either like put down or. And actually, that's really funny because it. Going back to it would put down or do something, and it's really funny that I have to think about that, because going back to what you were saying, Wicked, a few minutes ago, it's that the Traveler's all about creation. Motherfucker, first thing it does when it wakes up is kill someone. First thing. Doesn't even say hello first. It does that after it kills someone.
Doesn't even say hello, just says goodbye.
Yeah, it's... So that's funny to me.
Yeah.
Well, I guess... Guys... Let's do some final thoughts. I think we've pushed this to quite a limit here with...
Fair enough.
With what we know, I think there's a lot of cool things to come, and I would love to invite you back to revisit this as we learn more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe...
we're kind of at a point where we don't have enough information to fully garnish our thought process on how we're going to get our stasis powers and basically manipulate the light through them, or manipulate the darkness, corrupting our light, essentially.
Yeah, there's too many blanks. In the information at this point, I think.
I'm really hoping our next raid has a lot of hints to how that whole thing works out. Because I have a couple of theories on that end that would fit nicely in, Bagels, with our theories. Because I'm pretty sure you and I had the same theory about the ghosts and where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I mean, I think it's cool. I think all these things are cool. I don't mean to seem like a stick in the mud. All I'm saying is that based on the other stuff that we do have, this is a little out of left field. That's all I'm saying. Ice powers is weird. Ice powers is weird for Destiny. There, I said it.
I think you're just making a political statement on global heating.
Bungie's like, we need to stop this exponential growth of heat. We're giving you ice powers.
oh god, watch it turn into like three seasons into to Beyond Light, and it's just gonna be like, all right, we've got global cooling is a real big problem. We're gonna need
overhaul the solar supers.
Yeah, we're gonna need to crank up the rads. We need way more rats to get this going.
Your new green super is nuclear radiation.
I think nuclear would be tight as fuck.
Just basically sacrifice yourself to do a monumental amount of damage called meltdown.
Because think about what it is, right? Think about what it is. You'd just be like causing little like explosions of energy because you're basically like shooting your light into molecules. Like right, like at a point like that you can control. That'd be cool as fuck. That'd be like mind bullets. That would be cool as fuck. I hope someone important hears this idea. Like you don't even have to give me cred. Just nuclear powers sound cool as shit. And you can have like a neat little symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be the only super that's measured in rads, so win. So, all right. There, I said it.
All right.
Didn't have to be. Okay. Thank you so much, Wicked, for being back on the show. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Absolutely.
Our guest, for anyone who somehow doesn't know, where can they find you?
So you can find me on Twitter, PlayStation, Xbox, YouTube, and Reddit, all under the same title, Wicked Jester, WYKIDJESTR.
All right.
I do all kinds of art videos, just hands in all kinds of different pots.
He's got his fingers in a lot of creative soups.
The primordial soups.
I'm not even going to touch that one. I'll just leave that one alone for now.
Many soups.
The best of soups.
Oh, this is as always Taylor B. You can find me on Twitter at this is Red Leader, LITRE, all one word. You can of course also find the bagels if you know you're looking for some LFG or a Sherpa. No one else can help, and if you can find him,
I do the things.
Yeah, maybe you can get invited to the temp chat. And,
imagine anybody listening to this is like, "What the hell is temp chat?" They keep talking about.
I know. You got to find the bagels, and you'll find out, and then you'll be carried through all the content. You will be a master of completion.
That's it's right. True though. I do like to do Sherpas and stuff like that. So.
I know, and you get little, how can I say? I feel like there's like a whole like little like they're all like your little students now. They're like, how can I do this content? And then like sometimes you're not available, and then they run it together because they remember what you taught them. Like yo,
bagels on a roll.
That's what I'm saying. Like so it's like scouts for destiny. Bagels is teaching them all the little tricks.
I pledge allegiance to the bagels
of the United States.
And all the raids that we shall do.
Yeah. That's the truth. So Wicked, do you have any shout outs for this very special ep?
A couple shout outs. Got my my wife made partner on YouTube, so a huge shout out to her. It's Devil's Knights on Twitter. She made partner and did her first live stream yesterday. And we also just had our 11th anniversary.
Yay!
Really happy. Yeah, really happy.
Congratulations to her twice and you just once.
It's mostly congratulations to her for being willing to put up with me.
Dude, oh man. Send her a big congratulations from the Spinful of Theory podcast.
Absolutely will. And a happy birthday to myself.
And a happy birthday. Yes. Happy birthday from the Spinful of Theory podcast.
I've got three of those in my DMs, by the way. Thank you.
I love it so far.
It's been great.
I love it. And one at, just like one at, I remember, because they tagged us in it too.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh god. Yeah, and then Raz will be going up for her last of the appointments for her cancer treatment and verification that she is all good to go this week. So keep her in your thoughts. And
yeah,
that's pretty much me.
You know, that final check in for remission. like official beat status is amazing.
Yep.
And wish you nothing but the best in persistence in kicking cancer's ass.
Yes.
Indeed.
She's good at kicking ass.
Nice. Nice. Monsignor Bagals. Do you have any shout-outs, sir?
Just going to keep it light today. I'm just going to say shout-out to Wicked for joining us again. This I love these little chats, the breakdowns of the arguments between you and Taylor. they're a blast, and I absolutely love it. And it's great to have you on anytime. So
absolutely love being here.
I love it.
Yes.
As this is and we love having you here. As this is a special sort of out of time episode. I think I'll keep it a little different too. I'm gonna give a shout out to all the great content creators who've been on our show, all the great sister pods and content on the Lore Network. Check out that weekly roundup, y'all. There's a lot of good stuff that you might not see otherwise, or you might not have thought that you'd be interested in learning about. So definitely worth your time and attention. Just a shout out to all of our listeners and all the people who've been helping us out by being our guest, helping us out by supporting us in our daily lives while we take time to do these podcasts for hours at a time now, even though our original goal was like 20-30 minutes. And
yeah, we'll be done by 1 o'clock.
3 hours later.
Yeah, exactly. And put up with our fun. Thanks to everyone who out there who consumes this
become one with the darkness.
That's right. Love you guys, be safe out there, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
That's the end of this week's topic, but be sure to check out our past and future episodes on Spotify, iTunes, and Podbean. If you have any questions about this week's topic, want to discuss Destiny lore with us, or if you just feel like reaching out to us, you can find us on Twitter at SpinfoilTheory, or you can email us via SpinfoilTheory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening!